Couple weeks ago, I was invited to a party. Her birthday party. Her first birthday party, which, by the way, is a very important birthday party, because without that one. But I have to tell you, Danielle and Bran spared no effort for us to be comfortable, for us to have a good time, for us to enjoy each other's company. It was a beautiful time. Now, who did you invite to that party? You invited family, friends, people who are generally supportive of you and Bran, the kind of people you want to be around. Now, I understand, Jada, that you got a party coming up too. Who did you invite? Family, friends, people who've been supportive, people who've been there, people, your godmother. That's the kind of people you want around. Now, what's amazing about this is God has a party going. He's planning a party, a huge one. But who is God inviting? Titus chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. Has to be understood, if you're going to understand this passage at all, that the Apostle Paul is writing to a man named Titus, who is a church leader on the island of Crete. And the people in Crete have a reputation. And it ain't good. And so Paul tells Titus, when you teach in church, verse 1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to slander no one, to avoid fighting, and to be kind, always showing gentleness to all people. For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, captives of various pleasures and passions, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. But, you know the most important word in the Bible is but. This is how stuff is, but when the goodness and love for man appeared from God our Savior, He saved us. Not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs of the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. These are good and profitable for everyone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, what an invitation You've put out. An invitation that brings in the worst in order to bring out Your best. I pray You do that in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So who's on God's invitation list? Well, we are. We are. And how does Paul describe us? Verse 3, foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. Quite the invitation list. Who does God invite? He tends to invite sinners. Why does God invite sinners? Because, tell me. Because there isn't anybody else. I've said it before, sin is the great equalizer. Mother Teresa, Hugh Hefner, and me, sinners in need of a Savior. I just happen to have one I can recommend, but we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that's true of Jada. Oh, come on, she can't really be a sinner. Just like anyone else. She's no different. We are sinners in need of a Savior. We are equals. God didn't invite friends, but enemies. Jesus, in fact, it's amazing. Jesus was talking to the religious elite. He did that a lot. Talking to the religious elite. And he says, you know, you guys think that you're all that and a bag of bagels. Matthew 8, verses 11 and 12. I tell you that many will come from the east and the west, and they're going to be the ones who recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom, the highfalutin, the high and mighty, will be thrown into the outer darkness, in that place where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, the whole reason that Jesus came was for sinners. Mark 10:45 says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to give his life for many. Paul wrote in Romans 5, verse 6, while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's who's invited to the party. The ungodly, crazy, stupid, grace, which is a scandal of the highest order. Grace is where God takes those who deserve nothing but his wrath, and he says, I love you, here's my gift, take it. God's strange guest list does not include those who believe themselves to be righteous. The healthy don't need a doctor, Jesus said, but the sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus, again speaking to the religious elite, said, I assure you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. That's heady stuff. I mean, Jesus, you think about it, there's a current scandal involving the Internal Revenue Service. The one thing you can say for the Internal Revenue Service is they work for us. In that time, the tax collectors were Jews who worked for the bad guys. At least the IRS is a little bit on our side. A little bit. But these guys were collecting for the oppressors. And Jesus says, they're better off than the religious elite. Which, by the way, as a pastor, is about the most unnerving thing I can tell you. God's invitation list is sinners only. Well, if we go to the party, what are the party favors? Verses 4 to 6, when the goodness of God and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. He poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, Paul is not speaking specifically about baptism doing this. He talks about washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. I don't think he's saying by getting baptized you get this, but I think he is reminding us that at baptism we confess to the world that we had received the Holy Spirit. I think he's bringing, remember how he said during the baptismal service, as we observe this baptism, we remember our own vows, and that's what he's trying to hearken them back to, remind them of their vows at baptism. Salvation, of which baptism is a symbol, symbolizes something that we call regeneration. Okay, that's one of those big words, but generation, getting something started, getting a new start. Or the new birth. A new birth, of which baptism is a symbol. Now, he also talks about renewal, not restoration. He wants to make us new. Not forgive us and send us back to going the same way that we've been going, but to send us back another way, renewed, changed, different people. Now, one of the big arguments that sometimes occurs is baptism technically a sacrament? Well, the problem with that is people define sacrament the wrong way. Many define the word sacrament to mean something which gives you God's grace. If something can give you God's grace other than God, it isn't worth anything. But that's not what the word sacrament means. Sacrament is taken from the Latin word sacramentum, which is the vow that a Roman soldier would take when he became a Roman soldier. It was his loyalty oath to Rome. Roger, when you were in the service, did you take an oath? You took a sacramentum. What happened here? Jada confessed Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that a sacrament? I believe so. In the proper sense of the word, it is. And so it is in that sense a sacrament. And what does God want for us? Not just to go to heaven. Oh, that's there in verse 7. We'll get to that. Eternal life. But a radical change of life right now. Not behaving morally so we can get brownie points with God. That's not what it's about. In fact, there was a tremendous quote that I read Wednesday night at prayer meeting from William James. He said, "The hour of a man's moral death turns into his spiritual birthday. The moment we realize we are immoral and that we are not going to win brownie points with God, when we throw away our personal morality and fall down upon the mercy of holy God, we get it. And that becomes our spiritual birthday. But like Paul writes, it is not restoration to where we were before, but renewal, made new, given a new life with radical change. Well, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the after party, which is the eternal life. Having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life in verse 7. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. These are good and profitable for everyone. Now, eternal life is great, and for many, Christianity is all about fire insurance. It's all about missing hell and going to heaven. That is not what it's about. It's in there, but that's not what it's about. It's about having a relationship with God. The outcome of receiving eternal life is what, according to Paul? It's good works. We are not saved by good works. We are saved to good works. That once we come to Christ, we perform those good works. And that's, of course, what you are seeing in the disaster relief work. Now, that's a big, dramatic picture of the good works that many of us are out to do and that we support. That's the big picture. That's a huge picture. That's a headline picture. But helping people in your day-to-day life, simply being kind. In fact, Paul gives some non-headline-grabbing examples. All the way back in verses 1 and 2, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Just a thought here. When we read about being submissive to rulers and authorities, our first thought is, oh yes, the government and the police and that sort of thing. Yeah. Well, I think something else is included in there. My boss at work is included in there. He's an authority. You know what, folks? Some of you don't know this. I work a factory job in addition to being a pastor. So I know I'm punching a clock. And I work, in fact, third shift. I work the graveyard shift, the night shift. Now, I didn't work Saturday, but I've got to work tonight. And I don't work Monday, and then I got to go back to work Tuesday. If you think my weekend has been gutted, you're right. What does the scripture tell me to be? Submissive to authorities, doesn't it? Have I mentioned a few times that there's stuff in the Bible I don't like? We just found another one. To obey, to be ready for every good work. Here's a tough one, to slander no one. In other words, no whining. Oh, Lord, if you could deliver me from me. Avoid fighting, to be kind, always showing gentleness to all people. That's how we live after the party. This was the party. We got a party coming up, and it's a party of good works. It's a party that demonstrates to the world the kingdom that we hope to live in. You know, one of the things that gets a whole lot of attention are terrorists. And when we talk about Memorial Day, obviously the war on terror is a big thing in our minds. You know, if I could ever find one of those folks who is spreading terror like that, and if I could ever catch them at a sensible, lucid moment, I would ask this question. Do you actually want the world you're making with your suicide bombs? Do you actually want the world you're blowing up? Is that what you really want? If they ever had a lucid moment, I'd ask that. How are you displaying an eternal kingdom you want to live in? Are you showing people this great kingdom that we all look forward to living in? That's our message. There's a kingdom. There's a king coming, and we serve him, and this is what life in the kingdom looks like. And you know, we should be able to go to our neighbors and go to people around us and say, you want to know what the kingdom of God looks like and what life in the kingdom is like? Just watch me. Oh, terror. That scares the living daylights out of me. Because I don't live up to the kingdom standard. I confess that freely. And not without a little bit of shame. Guess what I am? I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I need Jesus as much as the next person. As much as I am a sinner, God is a much greater Savior. And He has extended a grace that is greater than my sin. And I thank God for it. It came at high price. It wasn't cheap. Just like our freedom. Our freedom in Christ, not cheap. Our freedom in America, not cheap. But it's open. It's an invitation. The party invitation is extended. It's extended to you here this morning.